Hello, Screeters. Today is an exciting day. The holidays are upon us. It feels strange even to me to say that that's exciting. I have had a few people reach out to let me know that I'm not the only one that maybe has negative feelings during the holiday season or this time of year. December can be quite difficult for many, apparently. And here I am thinking I was special again. I feel decent today, and I am going to pick up my daughter, Haley, from the Chicago International Airport this evening. Hopefully it's at a decent time. She's coming from Boston. It always seems like Boston is delayed. Like every time we've ever done anything, it seems like Boston is delayed, but I'm strangely excited about that. I have forsworn playing any games while her and her boyfriend Trent are staying at the house. Their bedroom is adjacent to my battle station in the office, and I'm sure that they're not going to be up past 10:30, but what the heck? Take a week off and prepare yourself for Dungeon 23. Prep up some Rune Cairn, and we deal in lead stuff. I'm going to talk about all that, I think, and maybe a little more. But I don't know. What I do know is today is Monday, December 19th, 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey, Jason, I did have a question for you on your from your latest Random Screed. So what did you find cumbersome about the Traveler character creation process? I wanted to rebuttal, but cumbersome is vague, I guess, because it seems pretty straightforward and simple to me. But I can see that it could be overwhelming, and maybe that's how you define cumbersome with all the various steps. But at some point you get to a rinse and repeat type of step, and it becomes very procedural to me. But again, like you said, this is only the second time you've done it. Anyway, just trying to help out, and hope to see you in future games, and even just to make characters, because to me it's just kind of fun. So anyway, talk to you soon.
And there is Carl.
Take the next left onto County Highway T.
Rodriguez, he is calling in about character generation for Mongoose Traveler 2nd Edition that I talked
continue
about.
Continue for 25 miles.
In the last episode, cumbersome. It is very procedural, and it is simple. You know, it's just like a mind map, and you just follow through the steps and do all the things. But that's still, for me, cumbersome, because it's not the same as clicking a button and getting my Traveler from Classic Traveler on the website or something, or rolling 3d6 in order and getting, you know, a BX character. So I'm coming from a very, very specific care gen world, and I don't like character generation. That is something to consider in general. I don't like doing the character optimization. I don't like a lot of front-loaded character stuff at all. I would rather have the barest minimum and move from there. So that's kind of the answer, I think. It is a little overwhelming. I don't know hardly anything about the setting. I don't really feel like I understand what the rest of the player characters that have already been created are doing and why. And that's all my own fault. I haven't put in the time to learn those things. And unfortunately, until the game gets going and I feel like I'm vested in it, I probably won't. I mean, that sounds terrible in some ways. I want to play Traveler. I want to see what it's about. I want to have an experience. I want to play it with more than one GM to see how much is different between the GMs. You know, it's definitely a classic Traveler. Mongoose is probably going to be significantly different anyway. But there's nothing wrong with it. I just feel like it can really create characters that are different enough that I think it can be a challenge to come up with reasons or adventures that they're off doing things together. There's way less connecting pieces, but I understand that's why Mongoose has added those connections to give people points and help that. And then to create hooks that are going to tap into the character backgrounds that were created. But as I say, that's all front-loaded stuff where I like more back-end stuff to be emergent, the story. And we can do emergent flashbacks to learn more about a character, all that, once we kind of get a better handle on them through play. Now, I can do it the other way. I mean, I'm a frustrated writer anyway, so I have the ability. It's just not my choice. Regardless, thanks for calling in. Anyone, if you want to call in, you know, you can use the old tab on the website of the Anchor app. And I do have a Google phone number plus a SpeakPipe, but you might have to search for them. You can find them on my Discord. If you have any questions, just let me know. I'd love to answer them. Thanks.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, random screed. Don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right. So as mentioned previously, I want to talk about my experiences with the NSR. But first, I wanted to say I'm going to do a status report at the end of the episode.
Continue on County Highway MM North for 5 miles.
For those of you that are here for RPG content, you don't have to hear about my personal mental struggles. And lastly, right now, I want to mention how much it's that I have a love-hate relationship with the Anchorites. I'm so jealous about many of the stuff that the people are doing. Some of it I've done before, some of it I haven't. Some of it I feel like people are doing better than me, some of it they aren't. But in the end, I mostly want to say right now, I hear a lot of people talking about the Red Caps podcast and all the interviews he's doing. And how jealous I am of some of the people he's interviewing and that people are talking about it. So in the end, I just want to say good work, Kevin. Keep it up. I'm not sure how I became friend of the show, but I appreciate the nomenclature. So thanks so much. So part of the reason this is happening is Kevin just did an interview recently with a few people that I either have already interviewed or would like to, including Yokai Gal of Kieran fame. And Steve Grodzicki, always a good dude, and a couple others that I can't think of off the top of my head. If you want to hear some decent interviews, then you should go check out the Red Caps podcast and look for those interview episodes. Good on you, Kevin, you dog, or you Red Cap, whatever it is.
Gary and Dave shared credit on the White Boss. As things advanced, their relationship was on the rocks. Maybe less people know his name, but he revolutionized war games with the first fantasy campaign. On a song.
NSR, I can't help but think of good old Dave Arneson and Arneson Month that we had a year or who knows how long ago now, and that kick-ass theme music by TJ Drennan, of course. So I've been talking on my socials a lot about the NSR, specifically games like Cairn, Rune Cairn, and We Deal in Lead. There's also some space games called Meteor or Monolith by Adam Hensley. I don't really know what my fatuation has been. As previously reported here in detail, Arlen ran Runecairn for Jason Connerly of the Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and Arlen, of course, of Live from Pelham's Wasteland. And it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty neat. You know, we did character gen, and we did his whole adventure in an hour and a half or something. An adventure that he used the Warden's Saga edition of Runecairn to create. Some of it I really liked. I like the simplicity. I'm not positive I like the lack of granularity in the characters after character creation, but there's not a huge amount of difference in BX characters or OSE characters at character creation either. So let's call a spade here. Keep everything in perspective if we can. I got to run Aaron Clark of Holmes, or Clark and Holmes fame. Jeez, he is fam, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about the fame of Aaron Clark here. And it was cool. We used, you know, Warden Saga Edition. I chose Runecairn over Cairn because Runecairn seems more applicable to duet gaming than Cairn. Cairn's original purpose was, you know, running
take the next left on
OSR game or adventures with a different rule set. All right, Screeters, let me jump in here. I'm back. It is now Tuesday, December 27th, so a good 7 days or more after I did the rest of this episode, or the previous portions of this episode, and the Runecairn game with Aaron did not finish the adventure that's in the back, and I'm not positive it's accurate to say that Runecairn is better for duet gaming than Cairn, because I don't have enough experience really to do that. And I should also say
use the left two lanes to take the I-90 West I-39 exit toward Wisconsin.
2023, when I recorded the first portion of that show, of this show. But I liked the game. Runecairn has a lot of interesting choices attached to equipment that Cairn does not have. It has most of the same ideas, but then Runecairn adds some other things that does differentiate characters by the equipment they're using. And it uses the same kind of slot-based encumbrance with the points left over for fatigue. And it's just very interesting. So my infatuation continues. I am planning on running We Deal in Lead tomorrow, possibly for 3 players. And We Deal in Lead is by the same guy that did Runecairn. Colin something
in
is his name.
Mile, use the left two lanes to take the I-90 West I-39 exit toward Wisconsin.
We Deal in Lead was also layout and editing done by super editor. I don't know if layout was, I guess, Fiona Maeve Geist. So it does have that kind of really connected feel. And it's about the dark tower / gunslinger.
Gunslinger to take the I-90 West exit.
Series by Stephen King, where Runecairn is more of a
continue for 27 miles.
Valheim / even more strongly, Dark Souls sort of RPG game. In so as much, even when you die, you start over at the last campfire you were at. And it's kind of built, you know, in a paragraph or two, kind of a setting that makes that work, which is really quite interesting, especially as popular as the Dark Souls games are after Elden Ring. So anyway, check out Runecairn. And you can find it at, like, I think Warden Saga website or something like that, as well as We Deal in Lead. And if you want to play these games, get in touch. on the same topic, sort of Cairn and Rune Cairn, I did pick up my Christmas haul. So I got quite a few Traveler books, Mongoose Traveler second edition books and third edition books. And that is cool. One being the field guide, the companion, and vehicle book. It's kind of weird though, because you'd think that the catalog would be the same thing as the field guide, but the field guide, it feels just more mercenary and higher end military grade weapons, I guess, for maybe that type of campaign. I still have not played Traveler again since my last few sessions with Jay of Vanishing Tower Press. But I am looking forward to it. I really kind of wonder if it does have that ability to try and use the information there, including the technological levels, to play the solar colonies type of game maybe that I want to play or run. But I got to see. I got to see how easy this stuff is. It feels like it should be easy, and it uses TD6, which is why I've kind of played that Arneson Wave earlier, because I did get into a game of Burn 2D6 is the working name. It's a playtest by Salt Heart, also known as Kevin. And I've seen him on the Gamerhood Discord and the Gaming and BS Discord. And I had some time on Christmas Day. The kids had taken off to go to Trent's home in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, which is like 5 or 6 hours from Byron, Illinois, y'all. And it was really quite interesting. It felt, in some ways, like a Cairn game, but was very different as well, because it didn't really matter what equipment you had. There were 4 stats, just like Into the Odd and Cairn. There were not equipment. Well, there were sort of equipment slots, but the equipment gave you bonuses to your role in one of the 4 attributes, being heart, eyes, and a couple other things. So, and you'd roll 2d6 to see what those attributes were. And then, like, say you wanted to make a fighter type, and so you had, and heart is your hand-to-hand combat, hit points, all of those things all rolled into one. And since it's 2d6, you'd have to make a 2d6 roll, or you'd have to make a roll under that attribute. Well, if you took sword and buckler, then that might be an H2 or a heart 2. And if your heart was a 7, now your heart's a 9. And so 9 or less is your target number. But the way that you do tests is a common or moderate difficulty test is 3d6. Ah, here's where the differences are. Man, I don't know if how much I'm supposed to talk about this. Anyone listening, swear that you won't steal any of these ideas for your own homebrew game, and you will contact Salt Heart on one of those Discords that I mentioned. So anyway, the difference is you're not rolling a D20 to roll under like you would with the Knave or the Cairn Into the Odd style games. You're going to be rolling possibly more dice, but then you can lower your attributes for the session. All of this comes back after a quote-unquote long rest, and make it so it's easier because you can lower the number of dice. So, like, just for an example, you are making an attack, which is also different from Into the Odd, and it's a heart check that, or a heart test, and your heart, we already know, is a 9 because it's 7 from the attribute plus 2 from the sword and buckler or sword and board, and yet it's a 3d6. Well, you can burn one of your heart. The attribute number never changes, just that's how many times you can burn it during this session, and now it's down to a 2d6, or you could burn another one and make it down to a 1d6, so the 1d6 is always going to make it. Why would you want to do that? Because there is another bonus roll thing that you can use to drop a die, and if you roll a 6, it comes back, otherwise it's gone until you do roll, and a 6 has to be on all of your dice. So there's a quick and dirty. It was very open feeling in interpretation, even way more than I expect Cairn or Rune Cairn or any of the Odd games to be. And we were playtesting Magic because he had never done that. And I had the opportunity to play the first Magic user in the game using the Myth and Magic genre, because the Burn 2D6 is a sort of generic system for any of the four genres that are in the book. I have not seen this book. He only talked about it and like shared pages out of it. But it was interesting. The other guy who played has played this before. It seemed like pretty knowledgeable of what was going on, but like it's not that difficult because it's not that difficult of a game. So that was fun. I got to play that. Like we played for about 90 minutes, and that included character generation. And it was one of those like you kind of make up whatever your item is, and then that grants you your magic, so to speak. And then you, if it's a magical item, now you can cast spells through that item somehow. And so, as is my one of my standard norms, kind of, is I really like quote unquote shadow mages who can then use shadows as like a Green Lantern almost. You know, you can use them to do all sorts of things, and you can try to manipulate the narrative in order to make the shadows and magic be plausible for combat or sneaking around, or like teleportation, and just lots and lots of different methodologies are useful for that. So it was fun. I found it like a lot of those games that are really light on rules and heavy on imagination, easy. It feels kind of easy for me. But the way the dice mechanic works, it was kind of interesting because a lot of the things I was doing, he was like making 5d6 or something. So I really had to push the burn a lot. So anyway, I thought I would just let everybody know that I played that game, and interesting dice mechanic. And like, if you want any more information, let me know. And I think we'll delve into the heart of my mental extraneous activities. For those of you who's skipping the end, thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. Give me a call, probably in the new year. December. My old friend. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, they say. I don't even know why I have so much anxiety. It's something I haven't necessarily figured out. It's something about disappointing people when they give you gifts, being disappointed with the gifts you give, just not being able to do whatever you want to do because you have to go do these other things, and not having the right mindset about it. It should be a good thing, not a bad thing. But so far I haven't been able to do that. It feels like there's so much to do around our house, and I don't want to do any of it because I don't even want to go anywhere or have to do any of it. So I pretty much leave it up to my wife, Heidi, which overwhelms her with all the things to do. And I'm like slower with work. It should be a time where I'm like jumping on the stuff, killing it. But I haven't been. I haven't been killing it. I've been treating it just like I'm just
keep
as
left
busy.
To continue on exit 185B.
When I haven't been busy. And it's just weird because I haven't learned to shift with the amount of time necessary for the business. And I don't really understand completely why that is. I feel like I've done it now. I've come to the realization of what I was doing. And once you recognize it, then you can work towards changing it. But it's like a pressure cooker, and it eventually came to a head, and I lost my temper and yelled, and that's the last thing I want to do because I know it causes trauma for Heidi. obviously I'm in my own sort of trauma, but projecting your trauma on someone else is not healthy, in my opinion. It's okay to become angry, but there's no reason to become angry and then just like feel like I would rather lose everything as opposed to feel this pressure or this anxiety any longer. Because once you do it and then I feel bad and then all I do is feel guilty afterwards, the pressure is released, but not in a good way. It's in a negative way. So learning to release that in a positive way, which maybe sounds counterintuitive, but I'm not sure it has to be. Why not just say what you feel and let it go and just move on, you know, be mindful of it and move on. So I didn't do a good job of that. It seems like we've gotten past it and it's okay, but nobody's perfect. But I'd like to be. So anyway, I just thought I would share that it's just not always success. In fact, it rarely feels like it is. But that's the motivator, right? That's what we're trying to do, is get better, be better, do better. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe next episode we'll talk about Dungeon 23. Till then, stay alive. You got a job to do. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Baby, lost in a gutter, baby.